I'd like to start by focusing on the book of Maccabees. You know, these were the brothers that were willing to give their lives for something greater than themselves. Now look, they were just asked to not eat pork. I mean, couldn't they compromise there? But they couldn't. This was the law of God. It was set in their hearts. And they knew this was the will of God. And they were willing to die for even that. You know, what puts that kind of fire in the belly of people that God's will, all of it, is so important that they're willing to die for it? You know, I picked out a couple of my favorite saints this morning. The first one is St. Maximilian Kolbe. I actually got a very rare relic. He was incinerated, so there's hardly any relics out there in the world. I have one. But Kolbe was a brilliant young scholar. He actually got his PhD when he was 21 years old. Even in his seminary years, he studied science, and he was even designing space travel mechanism before World War II. As a young priest, he put his notable talents to work by beginning the apostolate called Knights of the Immaculata, or Militia Immaculata, it's known as the MI, dedicated to spreading the gospel through mass media. You know, so what was going on in Kolbe's time? That was all that propaganda going on. You know, they wanted to own the narrative, right? They wanted to convince people of their way versus God's. And so he used the best of new media. He was even in the throes of putting together a movie studio. He wanted to use the best of new media because he knew the battle, most of it was in that narrative or that ideology that was being indoctrinated into the people, and he fought to win that war. Of course, he upset the Nazis because he denounced them so much, their errors and their crimes. And so he was arrested, threatened, released, and when he continued to publish criticism of the Nazi regime, he was arrested again. This time he was put in a forced labor camp in Auschwitz. And to better able to help his fellow prisoners, he was quite open that he was a priest. Well, the Nazis took advantage of that because they gave him the worst jobs. They put attack dogs on him. There were beatings. And he was often put to work by carrying corpses. But he was relentless. He didn't back down. There came a time when there was an escape attempt in Auschwitz. The Nazis' remedy for such attempts was to choose 10 men whom they would just handpick randomly, and they would put them in a cell and just let them starve to death. One man was picked just in front of Father Kolbe. He was a young man with a wife and kids. Kolbe said, "Pick me instead." Well, they hated priests, so they took him up on it. There they were in the cell, and they shared their faith and sang hymns. And he wouldn't die. He was relentless even there, till finally they put an end to him by poisoning him. And so he died, a bright beacon of Christian hope. In history's darkest moment, he kept the bigger picture in mind, and he fought with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. The other great soul I want to point to is José Sánchez del Río. He was born in 1913, and he wanted to join his brothers in the Cristeros. So during that time in the 20s in Mexico, a very evil, corrupt government fought against Catholicism. They would kill priests and nuns and burn churches. A Cristeros rose up to fight against them. He wanted to join the heroic ventures of his brothers, but his mom said, "No, you're too young." He was only 14. And he said this to his mom, "Do not let me lose the opportunity to gain heaven as easily and so soon." On February 5th, 1928, the young man was captured during a battle and imprisoned in a church sacristy. In order to terrorize him, soldiers made him watch the hanging of one of his other captors, or one who was captured, the Caseros. But Jose encouraged the man, saying, "You will be in heaven before me. Prepare a place for me. Tell Christ the King I shall be with him soon." In prison, he prayed the rosary and sang songs of faith. He wrote a beautiful letter to his mother telling her that he was resigned to do God's will. On February 10th, 1928, the teenager was brutally tortured, and the skin of his soles of his feet was torn off, and he was made to walk on salt. And after that, they made him walk across town to a cemetery. There, an open grate awaited him. Along the way, they said, "If you shout, 'Death to Christ the King,' we'll spare your life." But he answered, "Long live Christ the King. Long live Our Lady of Guadalupe. Viva Cristo Rey. Viva la Virgin de Guadalupe." Once he arrived at the cemetery and that open grave, they shot him. But they didn't kill him. They said, "Stand against your King. Death to Christ the King." And the boy shouted one last time, "Viva Cristo Rey." And they killed him. You know, it's not just these saints, so many. Think about the heroes in our times. Those who enlist in the military. For what? For God and for country. For something greater than themselves. First responders, police, firemen. For a lot of people, it doesn't make sense. Especially in our times, right? Where money and prestige holds sway. And we think, why would I give that up? In these brutal times we're living in, Bishop Thomas Olmsted of Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, wrote a monumental and powerfully worded apostolic exhortation. I just want to read just a piece from it. He was calling out to men in particular, but it applies to everyone. He said, "Men, do not hesitate to engage in the battle that is raging around you, the battle that is wounding our children and families, the battle that is distorting the dignity of both women and men, the battle that is often hidden, but the battle is real. It is primarily spiritual, for it is progressively killing the remaining Christian ethos in our society and culture, and even in our homes. The world is under attack by Satan, as our Lord said it would in 1 Peter 5, 8-14. This battle is occurring in the church herself, and the devastation is all too evident. Since the year 2000, 14 million Catholics have left the faith. Parish religious education of children has dropped 24%. Catholic school attendance has dropped by 19%. Infant baptism has dropped by 28%. Adult baptism has dropped by 31%. And sacramental Catholic marriages have dropped by 41%. This is a serious breach, a gaping hole in Christ's battle lines. Close quote. Beyond these statistics, we heard just recently, 70% of Catholics no longer believe in the real presence of the Holy Eucharist. Only 2% frequently go to confession. Only 20% go to weekly Mass and holy days of obligation. 56% of Catholics favor legalized abortion, the murder of innocent children. 75% of Catholics are in favor of cohabitation. And 65% of Catholics are in favor of same-sex marriage. Father Longnecker, Father Dwight Longnecker, said something that I found very powerful. He said this: first we overlook the evil, then we permit the evil, then we legalize the evil, then we promote the evil, then we celebrate the evil, then we persecute those who still call it evil. How easy it is for us to get caught in the propaganda. You're called far-right extremists. You're called fanatics. You're the alt-right, right? You're extreme in your Catholicism. Extreme for what? For being fine with what the church teaches. For simply going to Mass when the days of obligation Sundays occur. For going to confession at least once a month. You're a fanatic. You're an extremist. You know what you are? You're a threat. And so they have to do the Saul Alinsky thing to you. For those of you who don't know, it's Rules for Radicals. I'm not going to get into it all, but it's a method of trying to deteriorate the power of those who stand against their own ideology. And the biggest one is mock them, marginalize them. Make others believe that they don't matter, right? For what? I'm okay with what the church teaches. The dogma lives loudly in you. We're told. Go ahead and be a Catholic. But don't be one of those Catholics. The 2% who go to confession frequently. 2%! I want to stop here and just caution all of us. You're trying hard. And you believe in the supernatural power of God. Grace, right? You can't live without it. You've come to that place. But grace will come off immediately, instantly, if you get proud and elitist about it. Done. It's off. No power. We're called to be humble. Think of the military men and women. Do they go around, look at us, we're superior to you because we go in the hail of bullets and you don't know what you see in them. And they understand this. They shy away from any praise. They just dutifully do what they know they ought to do. But brothers and sisters, that's you and I. No, the solution is not to water down the Catholic faith, to make it somehow more accessible to people. No, the solution is not to compromise with the world so that Catholicism is somehow not scary to other people. You're the solution. Don't get proud. You're the solution. You're the ones that are standing up and saying, I will not accept this propaganda, this indoctrination. That has left 70% denying the real presence of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And a vast majority saying it's okay to kill a little child. Fulton Sheen said, the wicked fear the good because the good are a constant reproach to their consciences. The godly like religion in the same way they like lions, either dead or behind bars. They fear religion because it breaks loose and begins to challenge their consciences. You see, go ahead and proclaim whatever kind of Christian or Jew or Catholic or whatever you want to do. That's fine. But just don't believe it or practice it, because then you're a threat. One of the great figures of our days, passed away a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, I believe. Justice Antonin Scalia said this: God assumed from the beginning that the wise of the world would view Christians as fools, and he has not been disappointed. If I brought any message today, he said, it is this: have the courage to have your wisdom be viewed as stupidity. Be fools for Christ, and have the courage to suffer the contempt of the sophisticated world. My brothers and sisters, we're in battle. If you're tuned in at all, you understand this. The propaganda is intense on all fronts. Media, Hollywood, universities, public schools. On all fronts, it's intense. And don't dare stand up for what your parents and grandparents, just a few decades ago, understood as just common knowledge, common decency. A country founded on Judeo-Christian values are now seen as a threat to this ideology rushing in to the hearts of our loved ones. What do? We remain strong, never proud. We remain strong. We remain convicted, resolve. Yes, we believe what God teaches. We're fine with that. And you know what it's brought me? A sense of purpose. There's meaning to my life. You see, I don't want to live like an animal. I don't want to just feed my sexual appetites whenever it pleases me. I don't want to do what this ideology is saying we should do. If it feels good, do it. Or from the Satanic Bible, do what thou wilt. No, we do whatever he tells us. Viva Cristo Rey. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.